In the name of our triune God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm sure that some of you remember when we used to share the peace in our worship services. It may have dropped out during the COVID time. I hadn't really thought very much about it. One of our members suggested we start doing it again, and I was very enthusiastic for doing that. For those of you who are unfamiliar with the practice, at a point in the service, the pastor would say, "The peace of the Lord be with you always," or something similar to the congregation, and the congregation would respond, "And also with you," or more properly, "And with your spirit." Then the members of the congregation would turn to one another and each say, "The peace of the Lord be with you." We're bringing that practice back to our congregation's worship, but I thought it would be good first for us to talk about what it means and why and how we do it. The sharing of the peace, of course, has antecedents in the Bible. It's been a part of the church's liturgy since at least the 4th century, and it's been done various ways and in different times during the service, in different times and places. As with everything in our worship, the peace has a reason and a purpose and an appropriate form. Still, sharing the peace is often misinterpreted and misunderstood. I have a story about that. This was many years ago, someone you would never know couldn't know. I was serving a new congregation. I had just started as pastor there. And one of the members who had stopped attending worship before I arrived came to see me in my office. He said that he would come back to church under one condition. And that one condition was that we stop sharing the peace. Now, I don't respond well to ultimatums and things like that. I almost never acquiesce to those kind of things. But I was interested to find out what his problem was with sharing the peace. And he said that it was a frivolous interruption in our worship service and that there was a lack of reverence in the way that it was done. Well, I'm all for reverence in worship, and I assured him that the sharing of the peace was not being done in an irreverent way. And I make that promise to you as well. More conversation with him revealed the real reason that he was so opposed to sharing the peace. He had had a major disagreement with another member of the congregation, and he did not want to share the peace with that person. Now, we would hope that in a Christian congregation, people would be loving and forgiving and understanding. Sometimes that takes a while. So I suggested that in the meantime, maybe he should just sit somewhere where he wasn't near that person he'd had the disagreement with, and that would work until they were reconciled. But he said no, that he had been sitting in that pew for years and years, and the other person had been sitting in the pew right behind him for years and years, and neither one of them would either change. Now, these were obviously two people who really needed sharing the peace. So, where does the sharing of the peace come from? Peace is a major theme of the Bible. We've talked before about how Jews would greet one another by saying shalom and would depart from one another by saying shalom. And shalom is the Hebrew word for peace. We also talked about how shalom, peace, is more than just an absence of conflict and struggle. Peace is a positive state of health and wholeness and wellness in body, mind, and spirit. Our first reading last week from the book of the prophet Isaiah talks about those who have an anxious heart. Do you have an anxious heart? I think just about everybody I know has an anxious heart. We're all anxious about something. I know that I'm very anxious when I read the news in the morning. I'm afraid it's going to give me tachycardia. But the Holy Spirit, speaking through the prophet, goes on to promise how when the Messiah comes, and we know him, of course, to be Jesus, when the Messiah comes, God will put everything right. All diseases and disabilities will be cured. All of our needs will be taken care of. And we will truly have peace in every area of our life and everywhere in creation when Jesus comes again. Jesus talked about peace. He shared peace with other people. And of course, St. Paul also mentions peace in his epistles. There are three places that peace is mentioned or implied that I think are especially relevant to our understanding of sharing the peace. Three places in Scripture. The first being in the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus says that if a person is about to make an offering and then remembers that he has an unresolved issue with someone, that he should first go and be reconciled with that person, that is to make peace with him before offering his gift. We see then that peace is even more important than sacrifice. A sacrifice is only worthy if it's made with a pure, peaceful heart. Secondly, on the first Easter, Jesus, resurrected Christ, greeted his disciples by saying, "Peace be with you." The disciples had just witnessed Jesus' gory death. Their hopes and their dreams were shattered, and they were in fear for their own lives. Then the risen Christ turns things 180 degrees for them with the promise of peace. Now they could be unafraid. Now they knew that they had a future. Jesus replaced the anxiety in their hearts with his peace. And we all will know the ultimate peace in the life beyond this world when we are with Christ in his kingdom. Thirdly, the greeting and the sharing of peace, celebrating the peace that Christ gives us, and proleptically enjoying the peace that is to come, was how the very first Christians worshiped. Both men and women would greet their friends with a kiss of peace in the Near East. Still happens there today. And in at least five different places in the New Testament, Christians are instructed to greet one another with a holy kiss. Different churches in different ways over the two Christian millennia have preserved that kiss of peace in different ways. I have a story about the kiss of peace, too. Men preparing for ministry in the Lutheran Church have an internship during their third year of study. The interns are called vicars. A supervisor of one of the vicars called the person at the seminary who was in charge of the vicars to ask a question about his particular intern. He said the vicar would kiss people in the narthex after the service when they were greeting. The seminary official said not to be worried, the vicar was only following the New Testament teaching of the holy kiss. And the supervisor said, "Yeah, that's what I thought of at first too. But then I realized he was only kissing the young women." That situation was corrected very quickly. In our time and place, kissing is not a usual part of our greeting ritual. Especially in the church these days, we want to not do anything that could be perceived as inappropriate. So how can we share the peace with one another? Traditionally, we say, "Peace be with you," or "The peace of the Lord be with you." And as we do that, we can shake hands or we can hug. Those are ways that the peace is commonly shared in churches today. Usually I invite people to share the peace by saying, let us share a sign of peace with one another. Now, I wouldn't suggest kissing anyone except your spouse or maybe a close family member. And for people concerned about spreading germs, you can grasp the other person's elbow or give them a fist bump or a high five or not even touch them at all. That's okay. Well, we've said a lot about the history of sharing the peace, its origin and how we do it. But why do we do it? What does it mean? Sharing the peace is not just a time to be friendly and welcoming. It's not a time for small talk or to discuss current events or whatever. When we share the peace, we are praying for God to give his peace to the person we are sharing the peace with. We pray that God may fill their being with peace and that they will know the comfort, the consolation, the joy, the wholeness that only God can give. We are saved by grace through faith, and when we depart this life, we will rest in God's peace. We want everyone to know that peace, even here, even now. Sharing the peace is also, I think as we implied earlier, a way that we are reconciled to our neighbors. In the absolution at the beginning of the service, we hear that God has forgiven us all of our sins. When we share the peace with another person, we are saying, God loves and forgives you, and I love and forgive you too. Sharing the peace is a verbal and tactile way of expressing to each other that, hey, we are not enemies. We are beloved and children, we beloved and pardoned children of God all together. Everyone here, we are friends and siblings. That said, it's not necessary for every person to greet every other person in worship when we share the peace. Some people might want to walk around and greet many people. Some people may just want to share the peace with those closest to them. That's okay. There's room in the church for both extroverts and introverts. We can respect each other's personal space. We wouldn't want to do anything that attracts attention to ourselves. It's the Lord's peace that we are sharing. We are not so much gracing others with our presence. We are presenting God's grace to them. So, where will the sharing of the peace go in our service? I served one congregation that always did it right at the beginning of the service after the confession and absolution to highlight that this was a means of reconciliation, and that was particularly important because there were a lot of people who had conflicts with one another. Some congregations share the peace at the end of the service, kind of making it the apex of our worship. And you will notice that at the end of all of our services, what do we say? Go in peace. The most traditional place in the liturgy for the peace is right before Holy Communion is distributed. Before we receive Christ's body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins, we tell each other, your sins are forgiven. That makes sense. That recalls the petition in the Lord's Prayer that our trespasses are forgiven as we forgive others their trespasses. My personal preference, which is very traditional, is to share the peace after the prayer of the day and right before the offering. This is the pivotal point in our liturgy where we turn from the service of the word, where we turn from scripture reading and preaching, and turn towards the service of the sacrament, where we celebrate the Lord's Supper. That also recalls for us Jesus' injunction to be reconciled and at peace with our brothers and sisters before making our offering and before receiving Jesus' body and blood offered for us. I'll let you know when it's time to share the peace by saying something like, let us share a sign of peace with one another. Now, the first few times out, this might be a bit awkward. That's okay. we'll get better at it. And when I give the invitation to the offering, that means that it's time to go back to your pew, make your offering, listen to the music. That's faith active in love. I pray that all of you will find the sharing of the peace to be a blessing of Christ's peace in your life. Amen.